Welcome to all of you here on this rather cloudy, rainy Sunday. When was the last time we had a 3-day zada like this? It's for this time of year, it's good to have that. It's springtime, and we always need moisture in springtime, so we can thank God for that. And just welcome all of you to the service here this morning. Let's look at our announcements. If anybody has any announcements, I know Jerry has one to make. If anybody else has an announcement, please feel free to come up here and make it. Just like to say that Corrine and Ray's nephew, Kevin Dick, passed away on Friday morning. So let's remember them in our prayers, Kevin's parents, Harold and Lasha. The funeral will be on Tuesday, so let's just keep them in our prayers as they go through this time.
I just wanted to make a note about junior youth for this next week, tomorrow I guess. We were going to be going to the MCC warehouse was the plan, but that hasn't worked out well. So we're just going to meet at the youth center at 7, and we'll have a games evening tomorrow. So.
Jake and Agatha, welcome back. I think they were here last Sunday already, but it's good to have you back in our midst. And Dave and Erica are still out in Thailand visiting Natalie and John. So let's continue to remember them as well. Robert's slowly getting better. He's at home and continuing to recuperate, and we thank God and praise God for that. And we also want to remember Tenley and Skylar in our prayers as they continue to recover as well. Church council meeting, that's tomorrow, 7:30. I don't think that should be an issue. I don't think we'll be on the fields tomorrow yet. So we hope to see all of you out there. Rudy's involved in the worship service this morning at Eastview and at the gardens on 10th. So we pray for his for blessing upon the words that he speaks there as well. Don't know if there's any other announcements that we need to take note of at this point. For a call to worship, I'll just read Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In my devotions in the last number of weeks, I've been reading through 1 Samuel. And this book is an example of people who put their trust in God and then follow the instructions that they're given. Most of the time. The main characters in this book are Eli, Hannah, Samuel, David, and King Saul. This story is about listening, obeying, and doing what God tells them to. Each of them encountered God in some way. They heard from God, and they believed what he said. Sometimes it wasn't what they wanted to hear, and other times they received great blessings from God. They were willing to be obedient to him because they knew they could trust the promises that he made. When they failed to obey, there were consequences, which weren't always pleasant. King Saul had the most difficulty believing and obeying God. The threat he felt from David's success in the battlefield caused hatred and jealousy, which led him to spend much of his life hunting down and trying to kill David. Saul knew that he had been appointed king by God. His disobedience resulted in the loss of his kingship and his death at the hands of the Philistines. David had a number of opportunities to kill Saul himself. He knew that he was to become the next king, but he didn't speed up the process by killing Saul himself. He knew that God had a specific plan which didn't include the death of Saul by his hand. Trusting God. Sometimes that can be very difficult to do. Listening to him, hearing what he has to say, being obedient, and then waiting for him to deliver on his promises isn't always easy. Each of us has our own unique story to tell when it comes to our relationship with God. What God has done for us, the struggles we have faced, and how He has helped us through these difficult times. When we look back on our lives, we can see God in them. Do we realize the role that He played, the guidance and the direction that He gave us? Are we truly thankful for all He has done for us? I'm looking forward to hearing from Esther this morning as she speaks on this subject of trusting God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. Amen.
Good morning. I haven't gotten to be up here in a while, so I'm excited to worship with you all this morning. I heard S is talking about trust this morning, and I'm really excited about that. Because as I go through life, I keep discovering more and more that that not only can I trust God, but just the fact that He is trustworthy. And as I get to know Him more and more and more, I realize that who He is and His character proves that He is trustworthy and that I can trust Him. So as I get to know Him, I'm trusting Him more. So I've chosen some songs talking about just who God is, because I just won't really want to be able to meditate on that this morning. And I also love the Word, so, and I know you all do too, so I'm going to start with that. Psalm 100 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness." So we get to be glad this morning. "Come before Him with joyful songs. Know the Lord, He's God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. He is good, and His love, it endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." I'd invite you to stand. And it's a little dreary outside this morning, but we're going to bring some joy with Jesus.
Your cross, it draws me to your heart. It makes my spirit sing, oh, it makes my spirit sing. Your grace, oh, I hear it call my name. I'm waking up to sing, oh, I'm waking up to sing. We will sing and shout, open up hearts and pour your praises out. We will sing and shout. Spirit sing, oh, it makes my spirit sing. Your grace, oh, I hear it call my name. I'm waking up to sing, oh, I'm waking up to sing. We will sing and shout, open up hearts and pour your praises out. We will sing and shout, open up hearts and pour your praises. Sing and shout, restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
Sing that again. You give life.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope.
Could the ushers come forward for the offering, please?
I'm actually going to stay up here for the offering. At the beginning of the next set of worship, I want to teach you a new song. So I'm just going to go ahead and sing part of it for you so you get a bit of a taste of it. It's one that we sang a lot at School of the Kingdom this last year. So I've really just grown to love it. And I know a lot of you will have heard it before. It's been on the radio and such.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite all the children to come forward. Viola has a children's story for you.
Good morning. Who likes birthday parties? And what do you like better, if the party is for a friend or if it's for you? Why do you like it for you? It's fun. And I'm thinking then you get presents and there's a birthday cake with candles. Do you like that? Well, I'm going to talk about Tommy today. He had just been at his friend Jeff's birthday party, and he had lots of fun. And he brought a gift for Jeff, a truck. And Jeff liked that truck. So Tommy was talking to his mom when she came to tuck him in for bed. And he told her he had had a good time. And Mom said, "That's good, but now it's time to go to bed. We'll pray and then you go to sleep." And as Mom was getting his bed ready for him, he looked up at her puzzled and said, "Mom, how do I know for sure if I'm saved? I asked Jesus into my heart last spring, but sometimes I still wonder about it. I still do bad things." The mom asked, "Well, you couldn't do it yourself. Jesus died on the cross for you." Tommy said, "Sure, I know that, but I still do bad things." So Mom picked up Tommy's Bible from the dresser and said, "Do you remember the truck you gave Jeff at the party today?" Tom nodded. "Well, did you bring it home from the party when it was over?" "No. I gave it to Jeff. It's his." "Well, what if he's mean to you tomorrow? Will you take it back?" "No, it's his. It belongs to Jeff and not to me." Mom nodded and said, "That's right." And she looked up a verse in the Bible, and that verse said, and this is what Jesus said, "I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand." The God gave you a gift of his eternal life when you asked him to come into his heart. Jeff didn't do anything to earn the truck, and you didn't do anything to earn salvation. And when you're naughty or do bad things, he won't take that away from you either. Oh, Tommy said, I'm glad I don't have to worry about that anymore. And sometimes we do bad things even when we have Jesus in our heart. But we know that we can trust God, and if we do things we shouldn't, we'll ask him to help us and he'll forgive us. And when we have hard things to do, we know that he will help us. So let's remember throughout this week that Jesus is always with us and willing to help us if we ask him. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Viola. A very simple explanation of salvation, but very, very true. Let's take some time to pray now. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the sacrifice he made for us, and the promise that we have, that once we accept you as our Savior, we can't lose that. People can't take that away from us. The devil can't take that away from us, because you are stronger than the devil, and we'll always have you in our heart. Help us not to forget that, Lord. Help us to always be mindful of that, and always have the confidence to and the desire to pass that on to other people. Thank you for this church, this body of believers, for each one who has come this morning. May each of us experience you in some way. Whether it's through the songs that are sung, the words that are said, the scriptures that are read, the message that is proclaimed, that each of us will take something away with us as we go from here, and that we will be strengthened and filled with your love each day of this coming week. We praise you and thank you and honor and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so the song that I sung before is called Good, Good Father, and I invite you to stand with me. I'm going to start with the chorus just so you get a little bit of a feel of that one. It's the same words over and over. You are a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I am loved by you. It's who I am.
Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I am loved by you, it's who I am, No, I am a child of God.
Daddy God, thank you that you are a good dad and that you take care of us and that you care about what we care about. And gosh, that you love what's on our heart and you listen to what's on our heart and to what's really going on, and that we don't have any reason to fear because of who you are, and because you're so good, and because you love us, and you always want good for us. Daddy, would you fix our eyes on you and on your goodness? Fill our minds with that. We love you, Jesus. Let's sing, Be Thou My Vision. Feel free to sit or stand, whatever you prefer.
I'll be reading Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see the fear of the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, many things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Where I speak and tell you of your deeds, there would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within me. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay.
Thank you, Shilin. Good morning. Let's bow for a quick word of prayer. Father God, thank you that we can wait patiently on you, knowing that you will come through for us. Father God, we entrust this morning to you, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts, and that I may be a messenger of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. The topic I've picked for this morning is Trust Me. And I find it helpful to sometimes go back to words that we use a lot and to actually look them up in the dictionary. Like, what does the dictionary actually tell us that these words mean? And so I did that. Taking a look at the word trust as I speak this morning, I'd like you to keep in mind these definitions. As a verb, it means to rely upon or place confidence in someone or something. To have confidence and hope. To depend on. To believe. And all of those definitions come through in different passages of Scripture this morning. So just keep those in your mind as I speak a little bit about trust. A couple of weeks ago, on Good Friday, my two sisters, a niece of mine, my mom and I, took a trip to Amsterdam for the week of spring break. Seeing Amsterdam, the windmills, and especially the tulips has been on my mom's bucket list for as long as I can remember. It was a dream come true for all of us. We traveled by plane, tram, metro, boat, taxi, and van during our time there. The only thing I think we didn't try was the bicycles. And I would venture to guess that most of the time, my mom had no idea where we were or where we were going. The truth is, we girls actually didn't either. When we looked at a map later on in the week, we realized we had covered a good portion of Holland in our travels, all the way up from Volendam in the north down to Rotterdam in the south. At one train station, as we were trying to figure out which tram to take to get us to the next town, we're sort of half on and half off the train, and Bev is encouraging us to get on this tram, quick, the doors are closing. Kath says, are you sure it's the right one? Oh, I'm 50% sure, Bev says. It either is or it isn't. It turned out to be the right one, and we never did get lost or end up in the wrong town. We saw some amazing old architecture, more bicycles than I could ever dream existed in a city, canals with boats, windmills, and we spent a full day feasting our eyes on flowers. We enjoyed amazing food and laughed until our stomachs were sore. As we traveled around and figured things out, I was reminded again and again of one of God's recent challenges to me, and one he had been asking me to speak about this morning. It's something God's been pushing me pretty hard for a while to try and get a better understanding on. He's been telling me to just trust me. He says, I've got your back. I'm on your side. Think about all the ways that I've come through for you in the past. God's been challenging me to trust him completely. Not to worry, not to panic. In some instances, he's been saying, don't do anything. This is not your battle. Don't even get involved. Talk to me about the circumstances, and then just be still and know that I am God. Trust me completely. It's a hard lesson for me to learn. I want to do something about the situation. I want to talk to others and see if they can help me or agree or something. I want to meddle and get involved or fix things or help. Again and again, I get different reminders from God to talk to him about it and then be still and know that I am God, to trust him completely, to let him be God. I have one particular prayer request that I've been talking to Jesus about for years already. The intensity of it comes and goes a bit, but the request continues to be very active in my heart. A short while ago, when my heart didn't know what to do with the pain of this unanswered prayer, God reminded me several times in different ways, trust me, I've got this. You have no idea what I'm doing while you are praying and waiting for this answer. This is not about what I want. This is about what God accomplishes, how God accomplishes his greater goal. In our Sunday school lessons, ladies' Sunday school class, we've been studying Daniel, and I've come across a most unlikely form of encouragement I want to share with you this morning. And I'm going to read from Daniel chapter 10. I sort of want to say my apologies to the ladies in my class, but not really. You know where I'm going, and maybe it'll be another reminder of how God spoke. We've been pretty intense in our Daniel study, and this is another one of those pieces. There's so much more in this passage, but I want to draw out one little part of it. I'm going to read Daniel 10, starting in verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. This is one of Daniel's, he has had several visions, this is one of those. We have learned in our study that his visions are part what we see now as history, but also part of what is still to come in the future for us. So it kind of goes back and forth between the past and the future. At that time, verse 2, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all during the 3 weeks, until the 3 weeks were over. 3 weeks is 21 days. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. This is the thing that he is seeing, and from our study we understand it was kind of floating between the banks of the river. So it's not standing, it's just there. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw this vision. The men who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. Makes sense to me. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. When I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and sent me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you. Stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel." Yeah, right. "Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding," I'm going to read that again, "since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard." Not just today, but since the first day. "And I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Okay, imagine an angel coming to talk to Daniel, and he's saying, "Since that very first day that you started, your words were heard, and I've been on my way to come talking to you. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Those were the 21 that he's been fasting. Then Michael, one of the other chief princes, another chief angel, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." Do you see the time frame thing happening here? He was sent a long time ago. He's been in battle with something, and now Michael, the other angel, has come to help him, and now he's freed to come and talk to Daniel. "While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face to the ground and was speechless." This is Daniel talking again. "Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, 'I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord. I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe.' Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. 'Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed,' he said. 'Peace. Be strong now. Be strong.' When he spoke to me, I was strengthened, and I said, 'Speak, my Lord. Do you know why I have come to you? Soon, I will return to fight again the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first, let me tell you what is written in the book of truth.'" And then in the next chapter 11, he goes to give him the vision. I'm sure I've read this passage before, but studying it now has given me a whole new encouragement for what is happening in that spiritual realm that I know nothing about. So when I pray my prayers over here and I don't get an answer, I've been encouraged to think there is stuff going on. There is a battle going on. I need to continue to be faithful in my prayers. The answer will come in God's time. The encouragement has been for me that there are battles going on all around us. And I know it's sort of an odd kind of an encouragement. The battles I know nothing about. God and his angels are fighting for us. They are on their way and in the process of answering prayers. That might be why he's telling me to just be still and know that he is God. It's like he's telling me at some level to stay out of the way. My prayers do matter. All my worrying and planning and scheming doesn't really help him in any way. The Almighty God is listening and moving. The familiar verses out of Ephesians, and if you have your Bible and want to turn with me, Ephesians 6, 10, and 12 are so familiar to us. "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Then in the following verses, Paul talks about needing to do these things. We are to gird ourselves with truth, put on righteousness and peace, take faith and the helmet of salvation, and your sword, which is the word of God, and we are to pray at all times. It seems to me if I do these things, my requests will remain the same. But as I give them over to God for him to fight the battle, I release the work to him. I am not qualified to fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this present darkness, or the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. But God is qualified. In fact, he's already won the ultimate battle. How can I not trust him? That's not to say that trust is an easy thing to do. It goes against the grain, and it's not my nature. Trusting is work, hard work. But Jesus says it is our primary work. And I'd like to turn to John chapter 6. I won't read the whole passage, but I will make reference to several sections there. At the very beginning of John chapter 6, Jesus just feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and then they pick up 12 baskets full of leftovers. In the evening of that day, the disciples cross the sea by boat. Jesus chooses to stay on the shore, but then later at night he walks out to them on their boat in the middle of a storm. People have stayed back, they're looking for Jesus, and they find him in the morning on the other side of the sea, and they begin to question him. After wondering how did he manage to get across the sea, because he wasn't in the boat, they ask him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? They ask him that in verse 28. After all this sort of has happened in the last 24, 48 hours. In verse 29, Jesus responds, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he sent." Their response is amazing to me. They turn around and respond by saying, "Well then, what sign do you do that we can believe in you? What work will you perform?" He has just fed 5,000 people with 2 fish. He has walked on the water, he has calmed the storm, and they're asking him, "What sign do you want to do so that we might believe in him, in you?" And as I'm amazed, then I'm ashamed. I do the very same thing. Too often I don't believe, I don't trust. I don't pray and leave a concern with him because I don't take note of the signs that he's already given. The prayers he's already answered. The miracles he gives me daily. I talk to him briefly about things and then I continue to worry and scheme and plan and get involved and try to prepare for what's ahead. Then I have the audacity to ask him for signs. More prayer answers to my prayers to prove that I need to believe him, that show me that I really can trust him. Sometimes we say that trust is something that needs to be earned. Has God not earned our trust? Or have we just not taken note of all the ways that he continually grants us his favor? He gives the ultimate gift of eternal salvation through his death. How has he not earned our trust? Hasn't he already proved himself? Isn't he worthy of all my praise and trust? So how can I change my attitude? How can this become my relationship with Jesus? Sorry, how can this become about my relationship with Jesus, not about the miracles and signs he performs? Can I focus on his deeds, his faithfulness, his miracles, the moments and gifts he gives me each and every day? Can I focus on him rather than on what I want and what I, from my perspective, think is best? Can I be thankful for what he continues to give me? Can I rest in him? Can I just be still and let him be God? Because when we stop to notice the prayers he's answered, when we focus on him, when we focus on him, our trust is built like a bridge from yesterday over our fears into tomorrow. When I think I can't see his hand, I know I can trust his heart. I was also recently reminded of a quote that says, "When we refuse to trust God and forget to live with thanklessness, we are living as atheists." We are positioned in Christ through faith in him, but we are living like God does not exist. If I believe him, then I must let go. I must trust God to do his part. To believe, to trust, is a verb. It's something I do. On our very last day of our stay in Holland, my sister Bev had arranged for Johan's mother to come and pick us up at the hotel to spend a day with his family on their family farm. Johan's a young man who right now is working in Morden. He came across on vacation last summer, I have no idea how he got to Winkler, but stayed with some of Bev's family. She met him, his mother came to visit, and so after many texts back and forth during the week, Johan had arranged that his mother was going to come and pick us up. And so this lady we had never seen arrived at the hotel, and we all jumped into her van. For the next hour and a quarter, we traveled down to the south of Holland with no idea where this would end up. She took us to a quaint small town near Rotterdam, and we spent a lovely afternoon touring their horse farm. Indy got a chance to ride horses, we had tea and apple pie, and then later that evening, they took us on a small boat which had a restaurant, and we toured the Rotterdam harbor for a couple of hours while we had supper. After all that, much later, Johan's older brother took us back to the hotel, which was another couple of hours' drive by van. As we were driving back in the dark at night, Bev turned to me at one point and she said, "Wow." And we're told to never trust strangers. And I knew it was another reminder from God about trusting. Psalm 40, the passage Shailene read so well for us this earlier today, has been an inspiration to me as I try to focus on what God has done for me, while at the same time I lay my requests before him again. And I'd like to finish off this morning by reading it again, just as a reminder of God's faithfulness to us. Psalm 40. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. No one can recount them. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced Burning offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here am I. I have come. I desire to do your will, O God. Your law is written in my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips. As you know, O Lord, I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They're more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to my help. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back to disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. My life is in no way a happy ever after story. There's so much more I need to learn and trust him with. I am grateful that God doesn't need me to have it all together before he can use me. I am thankful that God can use my story when I trust him along the journey. I am grateful for his continued grace and mercy as he molds and shapes my life. He is challenging me to trust him more, to let him be God, to soak in his love and forgiveness. And I'm curious, how is he challenging you to trust him more?
Thank you. Let's stand and sing one more time.
I dare not.
Let's bow to pray. Father God, for your continued love and grace, which you so generously pour out on us each day, we thank you. For protection over our minds and souls and physical bodies, for your precious gifts of that continue to shower on us, we praise you. Lord, I ask today for forgiveness for all those times I don't trust you, those situations I don't allow you to be God. You have proved yourself faithful again and again. You are the Almighty Creator God, and I too often worry and fret rather than trust my life to you. Please forgive me. Thank you, Lord, that you don't give up on us. You continue to challenge and mold us. You continue to use our broken and messy lives for your honor and glory. Thank you, Jesus. You are an amazing, almighty God. And from Romans 15, verse 13, I pray that the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen.